This is DW News, and these are our top stories. The German parliament is sitting for the first time since elections last month. The lower chamber now includes more women members. The number of younger and ethnically diverse representatives has also risen. Outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel has been formally dismissed after 16 years in office. She will carry on leading a caretaker government until a new coalition is in place. At least seven people have been killed in unrest following the military takeover in Sudan. Anti-coup protesters have brought the capital Khartoum to a halt. The army has released the deposed former prime minister following pressure from the international community. The general leading the coup has vowed to bring in an elected government. A Japanese princess has lost her title and status by marrying outside royalty. Princess Mako is the niece of Emperor Naruhito. Her marriage to commoner Kei Komuro means she has to leave the imperial family. Japanese media heavily criticized the relationship. The controversy surrounding the wedding attracted worldwide attention. This is DW News. You can find out much more on our website. That's dw.com.
The trappings may have been familiar, proud parliamentarians eager to get started, the traditional gong to open the session, all under the dome of the historic Reichstag building. But as Germany's new parliament assembled for the first time since last month's election, it was decidedly, historically, unlike parliaments of even the most recent past. Younger, more female, and more ethnically diverse. The post-Merkel era has begun. Just how different will it be? I'm Michael Oku in Berlin, and this is The Day.
Today is a very special day for me. I have been elected to the Bundestag for the first time.
I want to work to ensure that the perspective of young people has an impact here.
I hope to be able to focus more attention on the issue of equal opportunities.
We are still far away from having 50% of women in parliament, even though we are 50% of society.
That the issues that are important to young people, education, climate protection, digital development, are also on the agenda.
We still have structural discrimination based on gender within our society, and so we need policies that change those structures.
There's a structural racism in our country. And if we say it doesn't matter that I'm black, we're ignoring these structural problems.
Also on the day, kid-sized doses of the BioNTech-Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine may soon be administered in the United States. Regulators are weighing up whether the shot is safe for 5 to 11-year-olds. Supporters say approval will not only protect younger children, but also the wider community.
People point out accurately that the rate of severe complications and death in children is much lower than adults. That's correct. But we know that children are not free from the harmful effects of this virus. Vaccinating children will be really important for us to be able to return to normal life as we know it and to continue to protect everybody in our communities.
Welcome to the day. Germans might not yet have a new government following last month's elections, but today, again, a new, younger, more female and ethnically diverse parliament sat down for its first session. This follows last month's election, which saw the Social Democrats emerge as the strongest party. Outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel and her cabinet have been formally dismissed by Germany's president, although both will remain in office in a caretaker capacity until a new government is in place. Let's have a look now at how the new parliament shapes up. With 736 members, the Bundestag has never been this big. It's now one of the largest parliaments in the world. While more female lawmakers were elected than last time, more women are still a long way from reaching parity in the national legislature. More than a third of the new MPs are women, including the first two trans women to ever win a seat in parliament. More than 11% of the incoming lawmakers have a migrant background, 3 percentage points up on the outgoing parliament. One sign of the change was the election of the new president of the parliament. Traditionally, the office goes to the largest party, and the Social Democrats put forward Babel Bas, who was elected by a wide margin. She outlined the work facing the new Bundestag.
There are many contentious topics ahead of us, climate change above all, restructuring the economy with the aim of becoming climate neutral. Younger generations from this country are waiting for sustainable decisions from us, and the Constitutional Court has said they were right. We decide now not only for our generation, but also for the upcoming generations.
And proof positive of the change that has come to the German Bundestag, I am now joined by Tobias Burlock, who's been a freshly elected representative from the environmentalist Green Party. Tobias, welcome to DW and congratulations on your election. How do you feel now that you've actually arrived as a German parliamentarian?
Yeah, thanks a lot and good evening. It feels... I think the only way to describe it is incredible. Today has been a memorable day for myself, of course. But as you said before, it's a younger, it's a more diverse Bundestag. It's something we've been fighting for the last years and above all the last weeks and months. And therefore, I think it feels a bit like being part of something historical. And of course, it's an incredible feeling to be able to serve the people here in the Bundestag, in the parliament.
We heard Babel Bas there talking about the momentous challenge that climate change presents us with. Are you optimistic that the new Bundestag, with its new diversity, can do what is needed?
Yes, I am. I think there's a new drive within our party, but also within other parties. There are a lot of young people within this new elected parliament. And I think there actually is quite a bit of a different approach to it, because for us, it is about our future. And we have been the debate for the last 3 or 4 years that we are the last generation to be able to do something against climate change. And therefore, I am really optimistic that it's not only about our party, but a lot of other young people who will be the driving force behind that and also go over old boundaries of parties in this case.
Tobias, your party, the Greens, hasn't been part of the federal government for almost 20 years. Now you're on the verge of forming a coalition with the Social Democrats and the Free Democrats. What do you see as the biggest challenges for the next 20 years?
I think we have some big challenges right now in Germany, and I think you can read that how young people voted. They voted for the Liberals and for the Greens mainly. And I think we talked about climate change and the other issues, digitalization and getting a more modern state, getting the state to work in a digital way. And this is a topic where we are in Germany, if we are quite frankly, a bit behind. Behind our capacities, behind our potentials. And I think this is something which needs to be tackled within the next few years to have a good foundation for the next 20 years.
Well,
besides, of course, climate change. I mean, sorry, but like the climate change issue in that case, if we can't handle that, we are going to have a way more bigger problem within the next 20 years.
Right. No surprise there's been much being made in the media about the diversity of this parliament. As a young, under 30-year-old politician, you represent a segment of that diversity. And I think it's safe to say that that diversity has been largely celebrated. But in what substantive ways is that diversity likely to affect policy and make Germany essentially better?
I think it's always a good opportunity to have diversity within think tanks, within groups who are making policies. And it might sound a bit easy to say it, but I believe that having like those people at the table who have been in the parliament, in the policymaking for 20 years and more, but also getting the fresh ideas and getting a new perspective on, I said it before, digitalization, but also on the climate crisis, getting a more urgent drive in it. I think this will change some things. And then, of course, at some points, we are young people. At some points, we are not willing to wait as long as other older generations might be. And I think this is our, like, privilege of the young people. And this is something we will bring into the parliament. And at some point, I think we are going to be more eager to change. This is going to be a good thing. This is sometimes also going to be a bad thing because it's going to be frustrating. But I think it's a good thing that we are going to fight the struggle in the parliament and not only as watchers from the outside.
Well, we will certainly be watching you over the next few months and years. Perhaps that's Tobias Buchele, newly elected member of the German parliament. Many thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot.
Medical advisors to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration have recommended it approve the use of the BioNTech Pfizer coronavirus vaccine in young children in the 5 to 11 age group. If the FDA agrees, as is expected, that might prompt approval in Europe as well. Our reporters visited a playground in Berlin to hear what parents think about vaccinating children.
A playground in Berlin. The news that COVID vaccines are soon to be available to children affects parents here. I'm a primary school teacher here in the neighbourhood, and I'm always hearing that children keep infecting each other. Despite that, I have to say that I'd wait. My daughter is 3 and the older one is nearly 5, and I don't know if I'd vaccinate them so quickly. My boy is nearly 3 and my girl is 7. It would be great if they were both soon to have immunity. Most of all because it's annoying to constantly have to test the children, especially the one at school. For months, BioNTech Pfizer has been working on vaccination approval for children from 5 to 11 years old. It says studies have proven the mRNA vaccine safe and effective. They say side effects, such as rare cases of inflammation of the heart muscles, are comparable to those in other age groups. Jakob Maske, a Berlin paediatrician, advises parents in Germany to be patient and to wait for the recommendations of the National Vaccination Commission, not least because children are far less at risk. We want to ease parents' concerns. We now know that a child's immune system functions differently to that of an adult, in the mucous membrane, in the nose and in the throat. They have a significantly better defence than we adults. They fall ill significantly less often. Coronavirus might circulate among children, but according to the Robert Koch Institute, Germany's federal agency for disease control, most cases are either asymptomatic or follow the course of a mild illness. Children are also no great danger to risk groups such as the over 60s, as more than 85% of that group is vaccinated, according to a doctor from the German Society for Immunology. That means it's currently not necessary to vaccinate children to minimise the risk of bringing the infection into the family. Of course, it's good if the children are also immune at some point, but ultimately you have to say clearly that whether they get this immunity via vaccination or infection, both represent a very small risk. And what's the word on the playground? Would the children take the vaccine? I'd do it if my parents were okay with it, and they definitely would be because it makes more sense. Yes, as long as it doesn't hurt.
So the kids are clear if that playground here in Berlin is anything to go by, but what does a medical opinion say? I'm joined now by Kalsa Talat from Baltimore. She's associate professor at the Department of International Health of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and investigator for the BioNTech-Pfizer vaccine trial in children. Welcome to DW. We just heard a German pediatrician say that kids have a much better defense than adults, so they aren't in danger of being COVID-19 risk patients. So why vaccinate them?
So I actually think that the kids on the playground had it spot on. Yes, it is true that children are far less affected by COVID in terms of severe illness than adults, but that doesn't mean that they are immune from severe disease from COVID. In the United States, we've had over 6 million kids get COVID and 1.1 million just in the last month alone. We have children ending up in the hospitals. A third of those who are in the hospital are ending up in the intensive care unit. Children are dying from COVID. Others are living with the multisystem inflammatory syndrome, over 5